When moving forward seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch. Hope is seeping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. The thoughts swirl round all jumbled and why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed. Haven't told a soul I am depressed. A gentle whisper through the pain, then the rainbows follow rain. Breathe deeply, hold on tight. Your hope will return, shut. Embrace that in its peace. Join me. Let your strength be shown.
Hello there. It's so good to be back. I am Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And today I'm here with my guest, Ben Albert.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Elaine. Excited to be here with you.
Oh, it's awesome to have you as my guest. I really appreciate you for joining us today. I'm sure we're going to have a really important discussion today. So without further ado, Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Currently, I'm the host of Real Business Connections podcast. I run a mastermind and community. We all grow together, and Grow Getters Only is the inner circle. And I feel like I'm living the dream. It isn't always been sunshine and rainbows, but one thing that I've learned is all the failures, the successes, the good times, the bad times prepare me to who I get to become long term. And I pinch myself. I was pinching myself before we started this podcast because it's amazing the things we can accomplish over time. So right now I'm living the dream. It hasn't always been easy, as we all know, but that's a little bit about me to get us started.
That is excellent. And I know that Go Getters is on the school platform, which is something I find really incredibly useful. And it's really multifaceted. There's so many different things people can use that for. Closer to the end of the show, we will make sure that the link is available for you and you'll be able to find everything down below in the transcript. Without any further ado, let's get into the real story of Ben. And you can start wherever you like, but give us a look into perhaps before it got to be pinchable.
It was birthed out of my mother's womb. How far back do you want to go?
I think you've taken it back the farthest. Kudos to you.
Do we want to start at a certain age, a certain time of life, a certain...
What relates to where the story goes? Because everybody has sort of a different age where things start or where things maybe go off the rails, if you will. Those of us with suicidal ideation, some of us started at early as children. For many people, it starts in teen years. Yeah. So for you, where did things start to get a little, I don't know, eerie?
No, and I appreciate you explaining, and I'm stalling a little bit because I don't know where to start because there's so many things that happen in our lives.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, the podcast is Real Business Connections, but the word connection was aspirational as much as it was people, oh, you're so well connected. You're the networking guy. How do I connect better? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just figuring it out as I go. because at a very young age, like a very young age in single digits before I could remember what happened when, I felt very disconnected. And I think part of why connection and belonging and a love of growth has developed with me in me is because I was literally the smallest boy in school. So I was literally small. So I wanted to grow. I was disconnected. So I wanted to connect. And no fault, we all go through different things, but my dad had a very bad alcohol addiction along with other drugs. I can't confirm or deny exactly what he was doing, but first I thought it was alcohol and then I started to find other things. So I know he was struggling with all sorts of stuff. He passed away at a pretty young age in his mid-50s. And my mom had multiple sclerosis, which is a neurological disorder, which no fault to her. She was just gifted this disorder for some reason, but it caused her body and mind to deteriorate at a far quicker pace than most people would expect. So as a kid at home, the small kid getting bullied at school, a two-parent household that kind of looked good from the outside, but from the inside wasn't quite as perfect as one might think. I felt very disconnected, very shy, very uncomfortable. And it even like some things that I now see as superpowers, I was developing at a young age that like my dad and I would watch football and he would go in and out of the room in the bathroom, like over 10 times a game. Like who pees that much? Who takes that many breaks? And I didn't realize at the time I was smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, peeing a lot, taking shots. But I started to intuitively see when he was in a different state than normal. And now I can sometimes pick up on energy. And like at a young age, like my superpower was hiding because I knew when I should stay out of the way and not ruffle any feathers. And I knew when things were happy and joyous and I can goof off and have fun. So very long story short, because we can take it in so many different directions. I developed some pretty bad habits as I grew up. And one thing I became an expert at is integrating good habits. And we can talk about integrating good habits.
Yeah.
But one thing that, and this is new to me, I haven't really explored this concept much. It wasn't just integrating new habits, which was necessary. It was disintegrating the bad ones. Because I optimized my way to the moon and still had developed my own drinking problem and felt disconnected and didn't have good and I was meditating and affirmations and writing and personal growth podcasts, but I was drinking myself to sleep. So all that good stuff wasn't working. So there's two different ways we can take that. We can go into story wherever you want, but there's the integrating of the good stuff, which I think 9 out of 10 people teach, but no one teaches just disintegrating the bad stuff. That was my biggest problem and struggle.
That's a really important point because, well, hearing that from you, to me, that is a coping skill. In order to function, you are seeing the things that work and you are seeing the things in you that not only didn't work, but that weren't helping you at all. And that is such a high level of self-awareness. Like, I don't know if you realize just how incredible it is. Because as children, we do find coping mechanisms to deal with whatever is going on in our lives at that time. And whether it's an alcoholic parent or a parent who uses drugs or perhaps a parent who is violent, you learn to look ahead for those trigger points that you know are coming in how the atmosphere changes, how the energy changes. And children are really good at that, mostly because we were never told as children that you can't do that. When you're a young child, there are so many things we can and do that no one's ever told us we do. It's only as we age that people tend to poo the energetic stuff and poo the slightly alternate, I don't want to say reality, but the alternate ways that we handle things because we're relying on our intuition. And we're never taught that. But that's what that sounds like to me. And how old were you as you started removing the poorly regulated activities or the poorly regulated responses to what was happening around you? Like, that start really early?
No, I'm doing math in my head. I think I'm almost at the 50-50 split. And the second half was not all sunshine and rainbows. But
yeah,
I spent half my life developing really terrible habits. And then the second half of my life has been like disintegrating some of them. Now, I did pick up some great things when I was younger. But in my upper teenage years is when I actually started. I read my first ever personal development related book. And I saw that the world outside of my reality, there's a lot of different things that can be done and accomplished. And I was an outcast hippie kid. I was not a rebellious, I was a quiet kid, but at a young age was drinking, smoking marijuana, tie-dye t-shirts, long hair, going to concerts, handing out music flyers. Was this hippie music kid. And I went to my first ever music festival. And I was surrounded by people just like me. And I was like, oh, interesting. And that was the first time I saw a tribe. That was the first time where I actually felt like I belonged in a group. Millions of benefits. The struggle was really within myself that I was smoking, drinking, doing all the same kind of stuff my dad did as well. So having a tribe, having a passion, having like-minded people was very good. But I wouldn't go to any of these music festivals or concerts without also doing things like consuming alcohol, finding a girl to try to spend the night with, whether or not I cared any, like all those typical young adult stuff. But like I said, I had picked up my first personal growth book, and I later on in about 2015 started listening to podcasts, and that was a big unlock. This is why I love that you have this podcast is, I was college-ish time. I was in my early 20s. I started listening to podcasts. And then I had a job where I was a traveling rep for Chobani Yogurt, going store to store. So the podcast was my university on wheels, where I'd put on a podcast. I'd learn something new. I'd learn marketing or sales or a health concept, health podcast, personal growth. And it was my university on wheels. And the part of why I say like the first half of my life was bad habits and the second half of the life was slowly like developing good ones is I still was partying during this time of my life. I still didn't have the best relationships, but in my single digits, I didn't even know what was going on. I just thought my obscure life was normal. In my double digits, I started to realize that I was a weirdo. And then in my 20s, I started to realize that I'm an adult now, but I'm still acting like a teenager. And it wasn't until I hit like my 30s personally, and people figure I'm not a huge fan of ageism. People have different paths to the same end goal, and that's all that matters. But it wasn't until my 30s that I started to be like, I need to make more long-term decisions for myself. So that's why I say like the first 18 or so years were bad habits. And then the next 18, I'm 34, but the next 18 were developing some of the bad ones. And then eventually getting to a point where I need to turn this on its head.
That for some of us who take a lot longer to get the lesson, that seems sure. Like a very short time. Some of us take a lot longer to catch on to things. And I suppose it is partly our environment. It's partly what we know and grow. Because I think that not just how uncomfortable, or it could be how comfortable you are within a situation, will dictate the length of time you spend there. It's only when you become uncomfortable enough that you will then go ahead and change something. And
doesn't that stink?
What's it?
That stinks.
Okay. It does.
I've been, and the one thing I want to add, and I want you to keep going, is like, I've been trying to find ways to make myself uncomfortable, because it stinks that we have to wait till the pain is unbearable to make a change. And I don't want people to have to wait that long.
And I am so with you there. You are preaching to the choir. And that's only because some of us, okay, got to our late 50s before we really realized, you know what? There's only one person here that can change all this, and it's right here.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to take the lesson over and over before you get it. But I love the fact that you have a very set belief in what came when, which I think is incredible, because that says to me that you knew intrinsically all along you were understanding that what you were doing wasn't working. But you weren't so uncomfortable that it necessitated change.
Yeah, it's an easy example is I do affirmations every morning. And a life-changing concept, affirming who you are and who you are becoming. They can be a little aspirational, but affirming who you believe you are. And then you realize that you were that person all along because you achieved things you didn't know that were possible. The problem was I had bloodshot, tired, twitchy eyes when I said these affirmations. So something inside me, call it your soul, call it your subconscious, call it intuition, knew that the words I was saying weren't in alignment with the actions. And that was why I wasn't getting where I had to blame myself at some point, because I wasn't getting where I needed to be, because I wanted to be something, but my actions weren't in alignment with it. And I knew this for years. I still know this now. I don't even know if I feel comfortable talking about all the stupid stuff I still make even this week. But I feel like you know the answer. It's just getting us to do the right thing could be difficult.
It's so true, okay? Because humans have free will.
Yeah.
Okay, I will be 70 years old in November. What? And I guarantee you I did stupid stuff today. Because it was easier. Okay, when we become focused on self-improvement, when we become aspirational for a better us, to improve this being that we are, I think that's incredibly laudable. However, I don't think it's as easy as we would like for us to be 100% on board. 75% of us really wants to be a better person. But there's that 25% that comfort's pretty good, too. Let's just stay right here.
Sure.
And it doesn't negate what you're doing. It just makes that trip a little more linear, a little longer in getting to the full piece. But I have a spiritual advisor. I work with all kinds of people, and they all say basically the same thing. As human beings, we are onions, and you peel away the layers and you get a bit better and you get better, and there are always more layers.
Yeah.
Which I think is important.
Yeah.
And it feeds into something that I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, the concept of perfection is one, I think it's boring and ridiculous, because I truly believe if humans were perfect, there'd only be two of them. Done and dust done.
You and I can both define perfection and we'd come up with different definitions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But for the human condition, perfection is not even useful for like models. And if you do still lifes to sell Sobani yogurt and fruit and they're not looking for perfection. They're looking for the asymmetry in a photo or in a video that focuses the eye, that allows you to see deeper into the image. It gives you a feel of maybe a little secret. You're seeing something somebody else doesn't. There's that enticement there. And perfection to me takes that away. There is nothing, there's no challenge in perfection. It's just ho-hum. I mean, that to me would be like making everything beige. I don't do beige. It sounds crazy, but the concept of improvement, I don't think you give yourself enough credit because, yes, you were still doing things like drinking and partying and what have you. But incrementally, you're improving, or you wouldn't have gotten as far as you have.
Yeah.
I've
got a couple thoughts on all of this.
Oh, good. Good.
First is a great mentor and friend of mine, Brian Bogert. He likes to say that there is no end destination, only constant evolution of self. And the perfection is the end destination. There is no end destination.
No.
There's only a constant evolution of self. And when it comes to that evolution and those steps in different directions, there's this concept of the right direction and the wrong direction. What's right and wrong? We're all kind of feathers in the wind at different times of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's part of the beautiful evolution that is currently happening every day as we change, as ourself, as we have bad days and we have good days. And this might be a little controversial, but I've been starting to become a little disenchanted with the self-help industry as a whole empire.
Yeah.
The reason being is like, we're constantly optimizing where we never feel, this is a generalization, but we never feel like we're good enough. We're never smart enough. We're never fit enough. Our partner's not pretty enough. Our business isn't big enough. And if you just follow this protocol, then your solutions will be solved. And it's a hamster wheel because we are good enough now and only getting better. You can still optimize. You can still take a course, a program, have a mentor help take you to a new level that you didn't know was possible. But you need to acknowledge that you're just fantastic as you are right now as well.
Absolutely. And for someone who gets to today and says, wow, you know what? I'm enough.
Yeah.
This is enough for me. I have enough, I am enough, I feel enough, then, hey, more power to you.
It might not be
I don't think, to be honest, that will last because it's not within our makeup as human. We are, okay, humans are comparative by nature. Whether you compare yourself to others or simply yourself, that comparison allows us, we can't know tall unless we know short. We can't know cold unless we know hot, like all of those things.
Yeah.
And stasis is just not the norm. So getting to a place where you think, okay, this is it. I'm good right here. Unless you plan on dropping dead in the next 5 minutes, and that's as far as you reach, I think you will find that enough is lacking in a day, a week, a month, when you suddenly go, I could be just a little bit more. And that has to come from inside. And I don't think it's good or bad. I think it is that evolution of self that just continues to want to try. And that, to me, is what also gives you the impetus for living. for doing a little better, for trying a little harder, for, I don't know, being more aware. All of those things are intrinsic choices you can make that only relate to you. But I think to get to that place, you have to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense?
I agree. The one thing, and we've already said it, but I want to clarify, you probably are who you need to be and who are you meant to be right now. So it's easy to be like, I want to be healthier. I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more connected. I want to be fitter, have a better business. I want to just be happier. Well, acknowledging our suffering now is a great step, because we're never going to be as happy as we envision. Maybe this is incorrect, but I see myself like on a magic carpet going over a rainbow, like throwing things to the, I've just have this weird vision of, and it's not like that. Like, I still get in fights with my significant other, and the dog runs and barks at the neighbor and she almost trips and falls. And then I just feel so embarrassed that my dog won't stop barking. It's never going to be perfect is my only point. And so I stopped trying to, like, I still optimize every single day, but I stopped trying to be like the perfect human being, the best. I'm good being less than the best, but more Ben than trying to be the best. Because when I try to be the best, I actually usually try to be someone else and not myself.
Yeah. And that, the movie, The Stepford Wives.
Okay.
Okay. Like, when you think about that, is that the perfect story, if you want the perfect human with the perfect spouse and the perfect children and the perfect dog. My dogs most assuredly are not perfect, but then neither am I. And I have to acknowledge that. The barking thing, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. We go through that too. But I think, in my head anyway,
sure,
the constant perfection would be more wearing. It would become more uncomfortable simply for its lack of nuance. Because, yeah, sometimes the dog is burr, but it's not horrific. Mm. Sometimes we do something stupid, but it's not the stupidest thing you've ever done. So you can live with it. Like, there are gradations, if you will, of the things that go on in our life. But the good, the bad, the indifferent, all of those things are what give us the story.
Mm.
That allow us, for me, the most important thing in the world is being able to laugh at myself. Because if you can laugh at yourself, you can put up with an awful lot. And it is better for you and those around you to have a sense of humor and be able to take the cake that fell out of the box, or take the ruined gift, or take the whatever, and find the humor in it, rather than getting yourself all angsty and annoyed and being in a bad mood for 4 days.
Yeah.
That really doesn't help anybody.
This just happened to me. And it wasn't like a laugh out loud moment. It wasn't even funny, but I learned to laugh at the scenario. There's a lot of reasons that led up to this. We can go as deep as you want, but the short inversion is I've never been comfortable public speaking for large groups. On Zoom, I'm far more comfortable, podcast all the time, but I'm in a stage in my career that I'm asked to speak on stages, and I wasn't the person raising their hand in class trying to get up in front of everybody. I was actually the person with a speech impediment, afraid that I'm going to say something wrong, and not really a fan of getting in front and everybody staring at me. I've spoken in Zoom a million times, but I've spoken in person a handful of times for conferences and events. And the last one I did, I would have given myself like a C. And I even talked to my mentor after it. I'm like, my energy was bad. And I'm like, I want to be better at this. I want to impact people. But if I'm like crawling out of my skin anxious and my energy's bad, like, what's the point of me even doing this if I feel miserable when I do it? I'm like, for some reason, my energy was just so off. I was nervous. I used to never be able to say R's properly, speech impediment. Randomly, like for the first time in 10 years, suddenly like my old speech impediment slurred just started coming out. And I even had one specific moment where I said something wrong and then I noticed it and then I froze. It was probably for about a second to 2 seconds, but it was the longest 2 seconds of my life.
Oh, yeah.
And then I looked up at everyone looking at me, and I had that realization moment that nothing's going to happen if I don't start talking.
Yeah.
So I went right back to the thing, and where I've learned to laugh, again, and not laugh out loud, funny, annoying, traumatic, frustrating. But yeah. I was watching the replay, and everyone says I'm hard to read. I'm very stoic. I'm very zen. That's just my personality. I don't drink coffee. I don't have way big ups and downs. I'm very, if anything, I'm like a little depressed sometimes. Like I'm very constant. So that's just me. So I felt very anxious, and I was screwing up and saying every word wrong. And these people don't know what screwing up is to me. And I watched the replay, and I looked so calm. I looked so comfortable. And the content of the talk was fantastic. My delivery could have been cleaner. But all these feelings I was having and the anxiety and knowing that I could do better and wishing that I did better, which I do wish I had showed up a little bit better. You watch the video, you can't see any of it. And I'm like, what the heck? What am I so worried about? Now, ideally, I feel good and I show up next time and I don't feel anxious. But I started to realize that, like, I'm a real mean person to myself. And when you look from an external perspective, I'm doing fine.
We are our own worst critic. And that is true all over the world. For everybody. It's so much, we expect so much more of ourselves than we do of other people. And it's a hard lesson, but a really good lesson that, yes, it's not laugh out loud funny, but it is funny when you think every second word you've messed up and you're turning to the left too much, or you put your arm out 3 inches too far too often. And the people that were at the talk were listening to what you were offering them. And they weren't watching what your arms were doing. They couldn't tell you if you stepped off the stage just a little, or if you moved to the left 3 times instead of 5. What they were listening to was the impact in the words you were offering, in the story you were giving them. They were taking from that, and in many cases, getting to use the kernel of the story that related to them, that they could see themselves in,
yeah,
and be able to take that away and use that at some point in their lives. And we are so self-critical. It is so easy to lose the focus and not understand just how much we each have to offer other people. And the one thing I will say for people who get anxious before you get up on stage, and for the most part, it's everybody. If you're a good speaker, there is always that moment of dread, those, oh my God, like, what if I mess up? That's just it's just the way it goes. But the fact is, if you were given the choice of never speaking again, deep inside you, somebody screaming, no, I could do it again. I could do it again.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most important piece, is that we do want to do it again.
Mm.
Because it is the one place that you can feel total connection with a stranger.
Mm.
And to me, that connection is so valuable. I spoke in Ireland in 2017. And I was speaking about social media and optimization, funny enough. And a woman came up to me after the event and she said, "Thank you so much. I never looked at social media that way. I didn't like it. But you turned it around for me and I could see I could maybe find this use." Okay. You could not have got me through the doorway. I was floating 10 feet above the ground.
Yeah.
Because someone got what I was offering. I gave somebody something they didn't have before I spoke. And that, a gift you can give someone else that makes you feel that good, is the greatest thing you can do in the world.
It's powerful.
And I believe that's what you do when you speak.
Having a fun realization that I hadn't really thought of.
What's that?
So some people, they might have a cleft lip. Some people might have a lisp in their voice. Some people might not say R's properly. Some people talk a little quiet and low. Some people talk high pitch. And you were saying the connection that is made when communicating to a group or one-to-one, anything like that. If we were all just Stepford Wives, the same vanilla, it would be boring. I have a speech impediment that comes out randomly, and I'm like, oh no, how embarrassing. But someone in the audience is, I like that about him.
Someone in the audience, no doubt, is thinking, oh wow, I do that, but with a different letter.
Yeah.
And he's managing okay.
Yeah.
You're giving them permission to be them because you're taking your flaw and just putting it on up there on display.
And is it a flaw? It only is a flaw.
You know.
It's like someone might be, it's really cute the way she talks. Or, I like the sound of his voice. It's different. Cool.
And that fit exactly because we don't hear our voice the way other people do. We don't see ourselves the way other people do. Okay, when you see yourself, it is absolutely, for one, it's backwards to what other people see. It is not, we don't hear ourselves the way others do. And I think that's on purpose, because I don't think we could do the self-examination we do if we heard us the way other people heard us. It's what are you going to pick at? That's why I said Stepford Wives. Oh my God. Yeah. And no offense to the color beige. I'm sure Pantone has used it as the color of the year at some point. And I'm more beige than I normally am today, so that's funny. But it's that concept of everything just being ho-hum. And ho-hum, if you don't have highs and lows, if you never had something that tasted different, if you never saw something that looked different, again, as a comparative human, how do you quantify that? More to the point, what's the point if everything is the same? if there are no highs, no lows, no good, no bad. Oh my God.
That sounds like a dystopia.
Yeah, that is not what any of us want.
Agreed.
This has been an amazing discussion, I have to say. Not exactly where I thought we would go today, but I think it's absolutely wonderful. Thank
where did you
so
think
much.
We would go?
I'm not sure. I'm always surprised where we end up when I talk to people, because I love the randomness of conversation and the fact that, you know, you can come and go through 15 levels of things and you often end up back where you started, which I think is really wonderful. I have the link down below for your school group, and people will be able to see that. The last thing I want to ask you, thank you so much for joining us today, but what would you say to the audience, what is something that you do, say, or think every day that helps you keep going in that self-improvement way?
I wish it was right in front of me. It's not. I have a keychain. It's very tongue-in-cheek of me. I have a keychain, and on it says, there is no key. And the reason my keychain says there is no key is I believe there isn't a key to success. Or really fill in the blank. There's no key to forgiveness or resilience. There's no key to success. It's a combination lock. And similar to a padlock at a gym or the pin on your phone, or the reason that take your fingerprint when you get in trouble is because each and every one of us has our own unique combination. So stop trying to figure out the perfect. So it's not perfect. You are an individual. Your combination is going to be different than the next person's. So my goal every day is just to find a new digit in that code. What are my skills? What am I learning? What is my purpose in the world? If I can unlock just a digit a day, that's how I figure out how to make it through this world.
Oh, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. This has been a very interesting discussion. I thank you so much. And we will make sure that everything to do with Ben is below, as I said earlier, and you can get in touch with him at weallgrowtogether.com. I thank you all for listening. Thank you, Ben, for being our guest today. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And until I see you again next time, make the very most of your today, every day. Bye for
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SCF42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.